May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Today is Creation Sunday, the day which marks the beginning of creation season. Environmental concerns and caring for the environment in general have become more and more popular in recent years. Perhaps this has also to do with the increased awareness that we are living in a non-expandable space with finite resources. I'm quite sure that many here at St. Ursula's would agree that these truly are important issues. Yet perhaps some of us might wonder what all this has to do with our faith. Why do we speak about this in church? And is it relevant at all from a Christian point of view? Like with any other area of life, I believe that we find the answer to these very legitimate questions when we diligently look into God's Word. Of course, we are not going to find much when we scan the Bible for words like nuclear waste, or travel by plane, or emissions. But most certainly, we will get more than just a vague feeling on how God feels about this issue. So that being said, let us focus now on our reading. Psalm 8 draws our attention to God, who is the creator of this world. The psalmist looks at the sky, the moon and the stars, the work of God's fingers, and marvels at his creation. At the same time, he can't help but wonder. He wonders why God is mindful of human beings. Why does God care so much? Why has he made human beings just a little lower than himself? Why has he crowned humans with glory and honor? And why has he given them dominion, authority, and power over the works of his hands, over the birds, the animals, the fish, the plants? The psalmist doesn't seem to have an answer to these questions. Much rather, he just is content to conclude that our Lord is sovereign, the supreme ruler, and that his name is majestic in all the earth. Through these words, we can feel the deep adoration and the heartfelt gratefulness this psalmist has for God. Adoration, because God's creation is marvelous, and gratefulness, because God, entrusting his creation into the hands of human beings, is more than generous. When we go over this psalm a couple of times, we begin to realize that God's purpose for nature must be more than just to give us an easy life. There is more to the sun than giving us warmth, and there is more to the moon and the stars than enabling us to fall asleep. An important function of nature is to give witness. To give witness not just to us sitting at church, but to all human beings about God. I happen to know many unbelievers, and though many of them say that they do not believe in God, most of them say that when they look at nature, they believe that there must be an unseen force or an unknown power. The Apostle Paul touched upon this topic very quickly as he spoke about those who wickedly suppressed truth and continued to live ungodly lives. And he said that they would be judged one day for their ignorance. In chapter 1, in his letter to the Romans, Paul says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made, so they are without excuse. I personally believe that nature does not just witness to us about God's existence, but that it teaches us also many important things about His characteristics. As Christians, we want to become more and more like God. Hence, it is vital for us to emulate His way of thinking. One of the characteristics we learn about God when we look at nature is that He is lavish in His generosity and that He gives great attention to detail when it comes to His creation. Just look one moment at how many types of flowers, bugs, or grass, or birds we can find in a relatively small town or place, let alone in the entire world. Or did you know, for example, that though all zebras in the world look alike to us, that there is not one zebra which has the exact same pattern like another one? What does this tell us about our God's grandeur and creativity? Besides, Jesus too uses nature to point out how dear His creation is to God's heart. He speaks about the fact how beautiful God has made the lilies of the field, even though their span of life is merely a breath. Lilies were often thrown into the oven by human beings without a second thought. Then Jesus also said that the life of ravens might not seem amazing to us, but that God sustains them by His provision and good plans. And at another occasion, Jesus pointed out that even though two sparrows are sold for a penny, not one of them falls to the ground outside of God's care. So, this tells us that even though humans often like to show any care about nature and take it for granted, that God places high value on even the most tiniest parts of His creation, and that He gives great attention to it. As people of God who want to become more like Him, we too have the obligation to place high value and attention on God's creation. The fact that He has entrusted His creation into our hands does not give us the right to use it any way we want. Just picture for one moment a great artist in your mind. Someone who has painted an outstanding piece of work, like Leonardo da Vinci, who painted the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo, who painted the Sistine Chapel. And now picture this great artist giving his painting away for free as a gift to someone. And of course, the person receiving the gift praises the artist, because the painting is just amazing, a great piece of work. And now imagine this. In the very next second, you see that same person who received the gift from the artist touch this painting with melted chocolate in his hands, walking with dirty shoes all over that painting and sticking his chewing gum on it. How would the artist feel? And what would it say about the person receiving the painting as a gift? I would conclude that the person receiving the gift has no regard nor respect for the great artist who poured in so much effort into his handiwork. As Christians and as a church serving the one true God and creator of this earth, we strive to be different. And though there is not one word in the Bible about keeping one's ecological footprint in check, there are plenty of passages and verses where God wants his people to take good care of what he has given them. As we come to a close today, I want to read some of them out loud and ask you to reflect upon them with an open heart. Exodus chapter 23. When you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would hold back from setting it free, you still must help to set it free. A couple of verses later. For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave, the wild animals may eat. Deuteronomy chapter 20. If you besiege a town for a long time, making war against it in order to take it, you must not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them. Although you may take food from them, you must not cut them down. Ezekiel chapter 34. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, but must you tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? When you drink of clear water, must you foul the rest with your feet? Jeremiah chapter 12. How long will the land mourn, and the grass of every field wither? For the wickedness of those who live in it, the animals and the birds are swept away. Proverbs chapter 12. The righteous know the needs of their animals, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And finally, Job chapter 12. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. The birds of the air, and they will tell you. Ask the plants of the earth, and they will teach you. The fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being. Let us close now with a prayer. Father Lord, creator of all things seen and unseen, thank you that your mercies are fresh every day. May we partner with you to take good care of everything and everyone your loving hands have touched and placed in our hands. Amen.